way back. It might be. Cubs win. Cubs win. Cubs win. Holy cow.
Line drive and a base hit. Just as the score of the tying run. Bream to the plate. And he is safe. Safe at the plate. The Braves go to the World Series.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable. A home run for Gibson. I don't believe what I just saw.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs.
Welcome back to Summer is Over, Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. You can find me on Twitter at bpriest24. I'm here with Josh Keel today.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Josh, what you got on your Twitter?
It's Rise and Shout, RYSENSHOUT.
Perfect. We got big news for the podcast as well, so go ahead and check out our Facebook page. Search for Name Change Pending, and then you can also find us on Instagram at NameChangePending24. So, I mean, pretty big deal, Josh. We're
in the top 25 of name change pendings.
Are we 3-5 for name change pending?
No, the top 25, right?
I think we're in the top, like,
three. Three, definitely.
I don't think there's very many name change pending podcasts.
Probably not.
I've looked at it. It's a good time.
And none of them are as good as this one.
So, name the show. Summer is over today. We're going to talk about baseball and the playoffs, but I want to start with a couple football news tidbits. So if anybody caught that Thursday night Packers-Eagles game, the first offensive play for the Packers?
Yep, first offensive play.
Jamal Williams, former Cougar running back, so yep. Josh was definitely paying attention to that, probably
definitely.
Up in arms.
Top three running backs at BYU all time?
Sure. Luke Staley.
Luke Staley, Harvey Unga, Jamal Williams, those three. Harvey Unga and Luke Staley obviously didn't make it as pros, but Jamal Williams. I mean, he would have, but for what's his name? Derek Barnett's, you know, douchebaggery.
Probably not going to call people douchebags on the podcast.
There was a lot of words I thought of that were harsher than douchebaggery. I had to, that was my reel in to what that was.
So yeah, last night, that's enough BYU talk for us. But that first offensive play from scrimmage for the Packers, Jamal Williams was wrapped up by a safety linebacker. I'm not sure who it was. And fighting for extra yards, and then Eagles defensive lineman Derek Barnett came in, and it's one of those plays in football. I don't think Barnett's trying to hit him helmet to helmet. It's just Williams is wrapped up. He was dropping lower to the ground, and Barnett probably didn't need to hit him. But fact is, he was still up, and the whistle hadn't been blown.
No, the whistle was blown.
Oh, was the whistle?
The whistle blown? Was blown, and he was going down, coming backwards, and then Barnett hit him. I think that's why.
See, I didn't know, like, the whistle had been blown.
Like on Twitter, the even not BYU people are mad, or not mad, I guess. As Twitter mad as you can be, but they're like, oh, Derek Barnett, what a cheap shot, because the whistle had blown, and he was on his way down, and then he gets drilled in the head. And really, it's one of those plays where you're judging it based on the result, not on the play.
Yeah.
Because if he just pops up, then it was just a pass that gained 2 yards, and we go on, because they stretch him off. All of a sudden, Derek Barnett's a piece of trash who took a cheap shot at someone's head.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. I just wanted to talk about it because of the seriousness of it. So Jamal Williams, you watched the video. He was unconscious before he hit the ground. Yeah. And
my brother found a screenshot of him. He's got like pink tips on his dreadlocks. Uh-huh. And so he got hit, and one of them like came out the ear hole of his helmet. So he's laying there and his arms like bent up, like classic dead body pose. And then it looks like blood is dripping out of his ear hole, because it's
from
just
pink dread.
From the pink dreadlock. So it looks like a dead body with blood coming out of the ear. And then he's like, that's not a good look for Derek Barnett.
No.
That is not a good look.
No, that's not. But so good news as we wrap this up. Packers have said that he's got feeling and movement in all his extremities.
Yeah.
So the hope is that he'll be able to be healthy from this. Obviously, he suffered a concussion.
Yeah.
Probably pretty serious. I'd expect him to miss some time, but it sounds like he should be okay.
Yeah, he Instagrammed out this morning that he's okay and that it's a long season and he'll be back. So
okay, perfect. Good to hear. And then, Josh, you kind of wanted to touch on the Jalen Ramsey saga.
Jalen Ramsey, there's a lot of parts of Jalen Ramsey's saga that make me laugh.
The way that he's
trying to manipulate the system, like we're not going to talk about Brown anymore, but it's like an AB situation where he's like trying to, at least he's trying to do it within the rules, but he's trying to manipulate his way out of Jacksonville
mm-hmm.
by any means necessary.
Yeah.
And the thing that he's doing that's a little bit smarter than the way AB did it is he's not going to get himself fined or lose money over it, because they can't fine you for going home to be with your wife
mm-hmm.
and they can't fine you for getting the flu.
It's called paternity leave.
And they
it's
can't fine you for having a back injury in air quotes. And so
air quotes are unfair, I think.
So now he's like, and he's trying to get traded to the Titans because he's from Tennessee. So he's going to go home and be with his wife in Tennessee. And just,
I thought he wanted to be with a good football team.
That was. I just read an article that talked about him wanting to be on the Titans because of home.
Well, good
luck. So he's just gonna go sit in Tennessee, and socially, if they fine him for going home to be with his wife, all he has to do is make that public, and all of a sudden they're the worst team ever because of all the social warriors. So yeah, he's right now winning the battle because he's still going to be getting paid,
yep,
and not providing services and saving all the wear and tear on his body. And I just don't know what you do if you're Jacksonville, and I don't know why they won't trade him. If a guy's this willing to not be on your team and you don't want to re-sign him, I mean, he's a great corner. If you don't want one of the best corners in the league on your team, why aren't you using him as an asset to just get other players instead of just wasting his time and yours with all this nonsense? You know, that's the thing that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about Jalen Ramsey, there's always been question marks about his personality, his temperament. He got in a fight on the field last year with A.J. Green and got kicked out of the game.
Right.
He was famous in college for DMing his opponent's girlfriends in the week leading up to the game and hitting on them and trying to pick up on just anything to get under his opponent's skin. And honestly, on one hand, I salute that. Like, that's deep thinking.
Move right there is a genius move that wasn't available in eras past. But if you can find someone's girlfriend and slide into their DMs the week before the game,
yeah,
that's genius.
Yeah, it's pretty funny stuff. But you know, to expound just a little bit on what you were talking about with the Jaguars and why won't they trade him?
Right.
I don't understand it either. I mean, Jaguars owner Shahid Khan is on record in the last week as saying that he wants to offer Jalen Ramsey a huge deal and make him the highest paid corner in the league. If a guy doesn't want to be on your team, why would you even consider committing that amount of money to him?
Right.
I get it that he's a good player and you'd like that talent on your squad, but clearly he's not a personality fit in that locker room anymore.
Right. He for whatever reason, that relationship is busted because he's the guy who came to mini camps in the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
Because he expected him to pay him.
Pay me.
And now they're like,
another great move.
It really is. And so now whatever's happened, he wants out so bad that even the Brinks truck isn't going to work. Like, I don't know if it was just he wanted to get paid before the season started, and now he's like, nope, we're done, or what. But it's a crazy situation that a guy would be able to go this far to get traded and still not get traded.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, but it's the NFL. I really don't know what to say about it anymore.
Yeah.
But let's move on. We'll jump into the bulk of the episode. We want to talk about the Major League Baseball playoffs. So we've got the last weekend of the season. Every team in the league has 3 games left.
Yep.
The races are pretty much settled. There's a little bit left up for grabs as far as the National League Wild Card, the National League Central, but the teams that are going to be in the playoffs are settled except for the Josh's Indians. But we'll get into the details a little bit. So, I mean, for me, I've always kind of felt like, growing up as a Cubs fan, my belief has always been that summer ends when the Cubs are eliminated from the playoffs.
Right.
The last few years, it's been great. Summer's lasted a long time. It lasted into November once.
Right.
But there were a lot of times as a kid where summer ended in August.
Right.
I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm going back to school. Cubs are eliminated.
There's probably been years where there just was no summer.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few of those. Oh, the Kevin Foster years were a wonderful time in Chicago for any Cubs fan. But, yeah, I mean, do you feel a sense of relief, though? Like, I say that the summers end when the Cubs are eliminated, but honestly, when the Cubs are still involved, when they're in the playoff hunt, when they're in the playoffs, out of all the sports I watch, it's by far the most stressful experience. I can sit down and watch a Jazz playoff game, a Broncos playoff game, and be okay. I'm watching the Cubs, and oh, it's terrifying, and it's almost better when they're not in the postseason. Yeah.
For me, this year is the worst type of situation where the Indians are just on the brink, and so every game, I have to check every single day three teams because I'm like,
yeah, you can't. Yeah, what
did the A's do? What did the Rays do? And what did the Indians do? I need to know this. And then I find myself in a position where I'm cheering for the Yankees, which I hate.
Oh,
I
that's
hate
miserable.
Cheering for the Yankees.
Miserable.
But I'm like, you got to do this. And then Herman goes out, and then the Rays start winning extra inning games, and I'm just like, I hate these people so bad right now. Just lose a game. And, yeah, it's torture just coming down the stretch. If they're in the playoffs, cool, I can relax and take a week off. If they're not in the playoffs, then all right, whatever. But when they're on the brink, it's the worst.
Well, and you mentioned it a little bit. I think the worst feeling in sports is when your team doesn't control their own destiny.
Yeah.
So you're not only watching your team's games. It's the other two or three teams that they're competing with, and you're rooting for them to lose. But, yeah, right. Then you're cheering for teams that you hate. Like,
yeah.
If I had to cheer the Cardinals on, I'd be miserable. I'd be so torn up inside.
Yeah. And coming down the last, like, 11 games of the season, I looked at the schedules, and I was like, oh, the Rays have to play the Yankees four times, and they have to play the Red Sox, and they have, you know, okay, we're all right. Who are the Indians playing? Oh, we got to play the White Sox? Cool. Like, I'm good. I'll take that matchup. And then last night they lose to the White Sox 11-0. And I'm like, oh, so no playoffs then. Okay, cool. I get that. I understand what happened just now.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Oh, baseball's tough. But we'll look at the American League first. So American League East, the Yankees have clinched the division. The Twins have clinched the American League Central. And I'm going to go back to our baseball preview show that we did.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain that I got like 8 out of the 10 playoff teams correct. At least 8, maybe 9. I know I picked the Twins to win the Central.
Mm-hmm.
But so the Astros have won the – I don't know why I put South on the prep sheet. Mm-hmm. The Astros have clinched the American League West, and then the Yankees trail the Astros by 2 games for home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
I think the ones that you missed had to be the wild card, because I don't think before the season any of us thought the Rays or the A's would be the teams. The Red Sox, I think, is who
the Rays were a consideration, but it was the Red Sox.
It was the Red
Sox
were the wild card, and then I think
we looked at the Indians.
I took the Indians to win, and then someone else to be in the second, and I think you took the other way.
Because
we considered the Indians to be at least a wild card team.
Yeah.
So I think that's what happened just off the top of my head.
Well, I'll take a look at it. Yeah. We'll discuss that one. But the wild card, the A's are leading the wild card right now. They played the Cubs in Chicago a couple months ago, and I seriously didn't recognize more than 3 or 4 players in that lineup. But somehow the Oakland Athletics keep winning games. They're up 1 in the wild card. The Rays are 2nd in the wild card, and the Indians trail the Rays by 2 games now with 3 to play.
They trail the A's by 2 games.
They trail the Rays by 2 games. They trail the A's by 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
the Indians are screwed.
Pretty much have no hope.
Settled.
The tough thing for the Indians is that they go into Washington and they're playing the Nationals, who are also competing for the for home field in the National League wild card game. So it's not like they're playing a team that's packing it in.
Right.
They're not playing the Pirates. They're not playing any number of teams.
And the Nats have been playing basically playoff games for the last 2 weeks too, because
the Nats have been playing playoff games since July. Their bullpen was so bad early. They've been fighting and clawing for 2 months.
Right. One thing that does make me happy about the National League situation is that Bryce Harper left the Nats and they made the wild card and eliminated the Phillies at the same time.
Yeah, that is kind of fun. So, I mean, as an Indians fan, what do you think we're going to see on this the last weekend?
I think they're going to lose.
So you don't think the Indians are going to make the playoffs?
I don't think the Indians are going to make the playoffs. But I think, you and I have talked about this before, how the only way to affect change is to not make the playoffs, because if you make the wild card game, everyone feels like everything's okay. I feel like the Indians are in a spot like that, even though they don't make the playoffs, because Kluber got hurt and because Carrasco got cancer and because they traded away Trevor Bauer, the management can easily just say, well, yeah, 3/5 of our starting pitchers fell apart. Granted, Shane Bieber stepped up and had a monster season.
Yeah, he did.
So now we got a 4th pitcher. Great. But these other guys, you know, if we'd had Kluber, and his average output, or Carrasco and his average output, well, then we win the Central instead of being a wild card team, is an argument that could be made. I'm not making that argument. But so I don't know how much change we made. Plus, we're coming up on the end of Francisco Lindor being an Indian. So,
yeah, he's going to get traded this offseason.
Yeah, so, I mean, at that point,
it's over. The window's closed.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So as far as matchups for this weekend, the wild card leading A's are facing the Mariners.
Yeah,
Mariners have been terrible, so that doesn't look very good for you. And then the Rays are in Toronto playing the Blue Jays.
Right.
The Blue Jays have a lot of good young talent, so there's a possibility that they could come out on top in a couple games. But the Indians, to make the playoffs, the Indians have to sweep.
Yeah, the Nats.
And the Rays have to lose at least two games, and that would just lead to a play-in game, not even the wild card.
The play-in
berth.
To be the wild card.
Yeah,
and then you
to
get
be the second.
You're
wild
starting
card.
Your third pitcher in the first game against the Yankees.
Yeah,
or the Astros. Worse, the Astros.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, is it even worth making the playoffs at that point?
No.
It's like just take that one game and let's go home. Let's get to the beach.
And as far as looking at the American League home field advantage, the Yankees are in Texas against the Rangers. So I don't even know what to say about the Yankees. How many injuries they've suffered this year?
Yeah.
Over 30 disabled list stints as a team.
Right.
It's like nobody is healthy, but they just keep winning games.
They've used so much depth this year. They could do like a little league roster where you only play 9 in the field, but you have 12 on your roster, so everybody gets to hit. And they could still hit home runs at all 12 positions.
Every position.
Every position
it's
would
ridiculous.
Be a threat. So.
And then the Astros are in Los Angeles playing the Angels. So Astros lead the Yankees by 2 games. They would have to lose at least 2 games, and the Yankees would have to sweep the Rangers in order for the Yankees to have an opportunity at home field. I don't know what the tiebreakers are as far as that goes, if they do end up tied, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say at this point the Astros are going to have home field throughout.
Yeah, they're not going to get swept.
No. No, I don't think so. And then we'll jump into the National League really quick. You know what, Josh? Let's actually take a quick break, and then we will do the National League.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Jerone, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. Break time over. Thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending. So this is your host, Brian Preece. I'm here with Josh Keel today, and we are talking about the Major League Baseball playoffs upcoming. As far as the National League goes, the Atlanta Braves have clinched the National League East. That's one I know I predicted. And then the Cardinals are up 1 in the National League Central again over the Brewers.
Feel confident you didn't predict that.
No, I didn't predict that. I definitely predicted the Brewers to miss the playoffs because they don't have pitching. They still don't have pitching. They've been 13-2 since last year's MVP shattered his kneecap.
Well, they just play in a trash division.
The Brewers doing.
There's only one other good team in that entire division, and it's the Cardinals.
So, and then the Dodgers have clinched the National League West and the best record in the league. And I believe, I'll take a quick peek, but I think the Dodgers have the best record in baseball. No, they trail the Astros by 1 game for the best record in baseball. So as things stand, if the Astros and Dodgers met in the World Series, the Astros would have home field.
Is it even worth playing that series? We know how that ends. We've seen that World Series.
I know, right? The Dodgers are good, though.
Yeah.
And we look at the wild card. So the National League, the 5 playoff teams are set.
Yeah.
It's just positioning. So the Brewers trail the Cardinals by 1 game in the National League Central with 3 to play. I've got a funny little thing about their opponents this weekend. And then the Brewers also trail the Nationals by 1 game in a wild card.
Okay.
So the Cardinals, Nationals, and Brewers, all 3 will be in the playoffs. But it's just a matter of, is it the Cardinals or Brewers that win the Central?
Mm-hmm.
And then who's going to be the home team for the National League wild card?
Gotcha.
It could go in any way. As far as matchups this weekend, the Nationals, sorry, I'm going to take a quick look at this. Oh yeah, we already talked. The Nationals are playing the Indians, yep. So two teams fighting for their Indians fighting for their playoffs lives, and right. Nationals fighting for home field.
Right.
In the wild card, then the Brewers are playing the Rockies in Colorado. So it's Colorado. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
You never know how home run balls are going to fly out of that field. And then the Cardinals are actually playing the Cubs this weekend.
Oh, nice.
So the funny story about that, Joe Madden, he's a character.
Yeah.
I like Joe Madden. He won't be managing the Cubs next year. But I've loved having him in the clubhouse. I love his steady hand. The Cubs were eliminated from postseason contention on Thursday by the Pirates. They've lost 9 in a row.
Yeah, I saw.
Wow.
Did you see there was a company that offered if the Bulls lost 10 in a row, the next day they would sell like dollar beers or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
And so they had to put out a tweet that said that only applies to the Bulls.
It doesn't matter. Cubs don't have another home game.
If the Cubs lose 10 in a row, no dollar beers.
I've had a lot of beer at Wrigley Field, yeah. So that could go south quickly.
Right. Right.
That'd be like 10-cent beer night in Cleveland
but
in the 70s.
It's a bar. It's not the organization. Yeah, it's like a bar that's just in downtown Chicago that's like, no. Don't come to us with this. The Cubs just lost 10 games. That was a one-time thing for the Bulls.
That would be kind of funny. So Joe Madden won't be returning as manager, but he was asked about they were eliminated on Thursday, and then they were eliminated on Wednesday, and yesterday against the Pirates, they sat all of their regulars, the regulars that are still healthy, which is not very many.
Yeah.
And he was asked after the game about whether he was going to play as starters in the St. Louis series because of the playoff seeding and such. And Joe Madden, I'm going to do my best to clean this up. But he said, I asked about playoff integrity. We're going to put a good team out there, but of course they're going to complain.
Yeah.
There was a B word involved, five letters. And then he went on to say, and of course they are. I get it. But quite frankly, there are certain things I just don't give a crap about. I love it. You know, just be honest.
Yeah.
He's not going to be with the Cubs next year. He's got nothing to lose. And
right.
Why should you care about, I mean, what's your feeling on it? Should you play your regulars just because somebody else is in the playoff hunt?
No,
or do you manage for your team?
I manage for my team. He's giving those guys a chance to get major league at bats and against major league pitching, getting them a chance to field against major league hitters and pitch against major league hitters. And I understand that. If I was, say, a Brewers fan, I would be livid. Like, I'd hate them.
But they're
so going to
make the playoffs.
They are.
Anyway, so it's not like the Cubs not playing their regulars could knock them out.
Right. Yeah, it would be worse if that were the situation. But still, and like, if you're a gambler, that would be frustrating too if you had like an over under on the number of games that like you went the under on the Cardinals, say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're playing the Cubs and you're like, they just needed to lose two of these three games and I'm set, but you're playing nobody's. And so now I'm going to lose $1,000 because of you, Joe Madden. So yeah. I can see why people would be upset about it, but as a completely unemotional observer, it makes no difference.
Yeah. I'm surprised that out of the two of us, you were the one that brought up the gambling implications on that one. I like that, though.
Yeah.
That's a solid point.
Yeah.
So we're going to take one more quick break, and then we'll come back with a new segment we're calling Delusional Fans. So thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.
Welcome back to Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. I'm joined by Josh Keel today.
Hello, Brian.
So this is a segment that we're going to try and do most episodes, and we're calling it Delusional Fans. And so it's going to involve Josh as a BYU season ticket holder for football, and we've all been to games, and we've all been to situations where we've heard people around us saying things. You know, football is a right. is a good culprit of this one, where everything is holding. If right. it's against your, it's holding. Come on.
Yeah. Every hit close to the sidelines is a late hit.
Absolutely.
Every incomplete pass has pass interference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every run that gets stopped short, the guy behind me says, well, obviously you should have passed in that situation.
Obviously.
Like, okay, bro. It's either a pass or a run. So what are we doing?
Amazing. So I'm sure this segment will end up including a fair amount of BYU content, but I'm not going to limit it to BYU content by any means. It's just going to be, what have we seen? What have we observed as we attend games?
Right.
This one I did find today. It's on Cougar Board Logic on Twitter. So this is...
There's literally a website called Cougar Board Logic?
Apparently. I don't know. I'm just going on what I found here.
I thought you looked at Cougar Board. I didn't know there was a separate one that just clowns on.
I don't know.
That's amazing. You got to give background for this story, though.
I will.
Okay.
I will. So I found this on Twitter this morning. This is a gentleman that goes by the name of Coug Dude, mm-hmm. and he's listed as All-American. I don't know what he's All-American in or who he is.
That has to be some type of ranking system with the number of posts you've put on Cougar Board or something like that. Because full disclosure, I have a thing on Cougar Board. I post on Cougar Board sometimes. I'm not Coug Dude, but I don't know what
sure?
I don't know what my ranking is or anything of that sort. I just. Yeah, so I'm familiar with the forum.
Well, we're going to need that information for next week, Josh. But so this tweet is in reference to the BYU-Utah series that is scheduled to take a break in 2022 and 2023 when Utah is now scheduled Florida.
Right.
A big-time SEC opponent.
Yep.
Whether they're good or not is another question. It's an SEC opponent.
Right.
So... BYU or Utah has been forced to cancel the two games with BYU those 2 years to play Florida.
Well, they didn't cancel them, they postponed them.
Postponed.
The reason that it's different is because they only had games scheduled to like 2026.
Uh-huh.
And so they really did just postpone them and extend the series.
Moved it to 28.
I think they had it scheduled through 2024. And then as like part of the deal, they added two games and then postponed these two games. So now it goes out 4 more years than it did. So now it's scheduled through 2028 when it wasn't before. So
okay, so they're still contracted for the same amount of games. It's just the years when they're going to play.
Yeah, just the years got changed because Florida had openings, and that's obviously a big get to get a 1-1 with Florida. So
yeah, definitely. So anybody who's familiar with the Utah-BYU series knows that Utah has won the last 9 games in this rivalry. And this Coug dude poses the question... Is Kyle, referring to Kyle Whittingham, University of Utah head coach, is Kyle running from losing to BYU in the future?
Exactly.
Kyle Whittingham has been the head coach all 9 years of that winning streak.
Right.
So now I'm going to read the post, and then let's just see what you think about it, Josh.
All right.
Coug Dude says, this is his best team. We played with a young team that is on its way to being very good. Without mistakes.
Back.
We beat Utah.
Is that... Can you deny that
I'm going to finish it.
Okay.
Going to finish. We'll go through this line by line. Don't worry. Kyle just saw speed at USC and his club lost. That's what his best team, period. The sentence structures could use some work.
I said that's with his best team, but it didn't get proofread.
It could. Yeah. Kyle loses all kinds of talent next year. BYU comes in the much better team next year. This will signify an era of winning by BYU. Is Kyle trying to circumvent that? I believe part of it is yes. I can hardly get through this.
He used I believe statements, so you can't deny that. He does believe that.
Yeah. I mean, he's not saying it as a fact. It's just a belief.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not going into theology here. He sees an improved BYU program on the horizon and loses a lot of the good team he has now. He sees losses coming, and he is partially running from that. Josh,
big
discuss.
Facts, bro. Big facts right there.
What kind of delusion is Coug Dude living in? His team has lost 9 straight times, and he's making the reference that Utah is choosing to play a big-time conference opponent instead of BYU, who... does nothing as far as gain Utah notoriety, does nothing as far as help Utah advance in the rankings, does nothing as far as helping Utah
That's not true. They moved up in the rankings after they beat BYU.
It does nothing. But when you play Florida, even if Florida's not good, it's still Florida.
Right. A comparison would be BYU playing Tennessee this year.
No
one's going to hate on BYU for beating Tennessee.
2-3 years from now, nobody cares.
All we did was go to Tennessee and get a win. We beat Ole Miss down there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it because I'm a BYU fan. Do you remember what happened that game?
No.
We won 17-16 because Kyle Van Noy strip-sacked the quarterback in the end zone, got a touchdown. That's how we beat him. We got one extra point on him. I remember. But on the ledger book, we beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss. So it's one of those things. Like, that sounds like something I would say at work to troll all of my Utah coworkers.
Yeah, you would make that comment to troll. He's trying to make the comment legitimately.
He's on a forum where he's expecting support for that. Yeah. And the phrase, without mistakes, blah, 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 always bugs me to no end.
You brought this up in the BYU-Utah game this year when somebody behind you in the stands said, without those three turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They happened.
Exactly.
You can't say, you would always be better if you win the turnover.
Had we scored more points, we would have won this game. Fact. Can't disagree with that. That's a fact.
Blows me away.
I don't know how to argue that. But yeah, that's a silly. All of this, I don't understand the delusion of that. Like, the only thing I can compare it to, like, socially, is white guys who still think white people are better than brown people. Like, that's objectively not true. People are just people. But because of a long history of that being a prevalent idea, people go, okay, that's fine. And it's the same thing. For a long time, BYU whooped Utah's butt all the time. And then a lot of people, someone who's saying this right here is a person who grew up in that era who still has that fixed belief from their childhood that just can't wrap their mind around, oh, something's changed. So in their mind, and I'm the same way about Utah State, like, they've beaten us two years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
This year would be the third year if they beat us. And they're really good, and it's possible it could happen.
Did you get us tickets for that yet?
I haven't. I didn't know if you wanted to go. I'm planning on going with Coleman. So, so in my mind, even though Utah State, if I can be objective, has a better team, mm-hmm. in my heart and my mind, if we don't beat them, that's a disappointing loss. Like, you could put Aaron Rodgers on their team, and I would still say, look at their uniforms. BYU should beat Utah State every single year, no matter what the circumstances. So I can understand where he's coming from in that way, because he's the same way about Utah. But I don't know if he can step back and be objective about it as well, or if he's just trying to feed.
I think we know that he can't.
If he's Trump and just feeding to the base and just saying, okay, this is what it is, dude. So that's craziness.
It's pretty special. So,
Utah's scared of us.
So that's your delusional fan segment. Thank you for joining us on Name Change Pending today. This is your host, Brian Priest. Find me on Twitter at bpriest24. And you can find Josh on Twitter at
Rise and Shout, RYSENSHOUT.
Thanks for joining us on the show today.